much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadism.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 936 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. I'm going to tell you all about what this episode has got for you in just a second, right after I let you know that we're proud to be sponsored by you, more specifically, the patron Dreadites. Go to patreon.com/dreadmedia and support the show the best way I know how, and that's giving us a buck a month. It's pretty simple. patreon.com/dreadmedia. Among perks such as videos and exclusive podcasts, they get early episodes like this episode, which they're going to get tonight. And it's Wednesday as I'm recording this, so a full 5 days early this week. Usually it happens on Thursday. But, yeah, this week, I'm in the summer, so I can get them done on Wednesdays now. So patreon.com/dreadmedia. Thank you to everyone who does. What have I got for you this week? This week, I've got a review I did with Dwayne about a strange film called John and the Hole. And, we talked about it much longer than we usually do, talk about movies. So, because after we finished reviewing it and throw to a song, we actually talked about the movie for several more minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that secondary part of the review and just tack it on to the very end of the episode. Meanwhile, after Dwayne and I talk about John and the Hole, I'm going to do a short review of another film that, you know, something weird is happening outside the house. It's a stretch to tie these two movies together, but I'm taking a look at The Woman in the Yard, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And I've got a piece of feedback that, remember, I promised I'd get to this week, so we're going to get to that. So without any further ado and making this episode super, super long, we're just going to throw to a song. Yeah, I did not mean to rhyme that. Yeah, it's given me an opportunity to play one of my very favorite songs by one of my very favorite artists. This is Tom Waits and Way Down in the Hole.
Walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Jesus' mighty sword, and they'll shield you with their wings and keep you close to the Lord. Don't pay heed to temptation, for his hands are so cold. me keep the devil way down in the hole. Down in the hole. Down in the hole. Down. Gotta help me keep the devil down in the
have a lot of questions about John in the hole. Like,
yeah, I might too. I'm not sure.
Or, like, well, yeah, for example,
I missed something.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All right. And we're back. And by back, I mean, back from our long session of recording. Our last recording, but this may be the first time you're hearing both of our voices. This is Dwayne. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey there, Des.
So, like, just out of, like, pure behind the scenes, clarity, when I picked the five movies to watch, I did not expect that I would find something weirder than Chompy and the Girls. And it just so happens to have the same title format as Chompy and the Girls. It's also came out in the same year, 2021, from director Pascual Sisto. And it's funny, was this filmed in like Spain or something? And because it definitely has a Euro vibe to it, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm
trying to find it here. Filming locations. Oh, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Maybe the filmmakers are Spanish. Pascual Sisto. Was born in Spain. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the writer Nicolas Giacobone, don't know how to pronounce that. I'm going to guess he was born in Spain too. His IMDb thing doesn't say that, but, yeah. What a weird fucking movie, especially for having two semi-prominent Hollywood actors, I would say. Do you want to talk about this movie or should I?
Ooh, let's see. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to let you do the honors.
Okay. The synopsis on IMDb calls this a coming-of-age psychological thriller. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
So, John and the Hole. John is a strange boy.
Mm-hmm.
He is, well, they're very well off, this family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They live, you know, I come from a privileged background, you know, in that I always lived in, you know, a nice house,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, never had to worry about food or anything, but this family lives in a house nicer than I've ever seen.
Right.
Personally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, tennis lessons. But John's a little weirdo, right?
Yeah.
You don't know, like, maybe you think he's autistic or something in the beginning, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the way he's, because the movie opens very uncomfortably and actually in a really great way to give us sympathy for John.
Yeah. Yeah.
because the teacher's kind of tearing him apart, right? Like,
right.
Like, basically, like, forcing him to answer this math. It's a very interesting scene in that it's all a tight close up on his face, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the teacher, and I don't even think you see the teacher, but, you know, she's all, you know, what is this? It's square root of 225 or whatever. Is that what
the yeah, one? Something like something that. Like that. Yeah.
And then, you know, after, like, honestly, after about a minute of badgering, he comes up with 15.
Right.
And she's like, well, how do you know that answer? And he's like, I don't know. You don't know? Like, she's just like, not a good teacher, right?
No.
So, like, this whole movie opens with, like, sort of the psychological torture of a child. So mm-hmm. we are, you know, then on the child's side of things. And then the kid goes home and, you know, eats dinner with his family. So his dad is played by Michael C. Hall. His dad is right. Dexter.
Right.
His mother is played by Jennifer Ely. Is that how you pronounce Ely? Maybe. I don't know.
I've definitely seen her in things, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen her in things. And she's the daughter of English actress Rosemary Harris, which I did not know. What have I? Oh, yeah, she's in Zero Dark Thirty. Yeah, she's in a lot of shit. Oh, she's in that Dead Ringers TV series that I kind of gave up on. It was good at the beginning, but I kind of gave up on that. And then his sister. Now, the sister's not there eating dinner with them when we first see them, right?
I don't think so, no. Like, I think we see her, like, the next day or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I also got a little confused between her and the mom once in a while. Like, and not that they're exactly the same, but...
Well, it was really weird not to introduce the whole family together.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, a long, awkward dinner scene with mom, dad, and John. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like the next scene, it cuts to him laying on the couch throwing a tennis ball at the ceiling, and right. a young woman walks up, and I'm like, that's not the mom.
Yeah.
And then I realize, yes, oh, I saw Tessa Farmiga's name in the credits, and that's Vera Farmiga's little sister, even though I think there's like 27 years between them. Tessa Farmiga, to me, is a brilliant actress. She was in that first season of American Horror Story.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, actually, looking at it, she's been in 32 episodes, 3 character names. So she, and that's the kind of show that does that. So she has been in three separate seasons of American Horror Story and different characters. But I've only ever seen the first one, and I thought she was brilliant in it. I think she's an incredible little actress, and honestly, I kind of wish they used her a bit more in this movie. Especially since, like, we don't even see her when they introduce the family. I don't get what that's about. But that's, like, one of 84 things I don't get about this movie. So
his dad gives him a drone, right? Like, he says, look under your bed for a surprise.
Oh, sorry, a drone. Yeah, right.
That's how,
So then we get John flying his drone around the forest surrounding the house. And it's there that he discovers a hole, a concrete, square concrete hole. What would you say, about 15 feet into the ground?
Yeah, I'd say like at least. Yeah.
And, well, I guess he comes up with a plan. And I guess the plan first involves killing the gardener.
I think he was just doing it to test if it worked, right? Like, meaning, like, I think he just drugs him and then doesn't do
the drugs. Yeah, but he kills him though, right? Doesn't he?
No, because he comes back actually later on. So.
Oh shit! Oh right.
I mean, I thought maybe he was going up, but
sorry, I watched this very late last night. I was staying awake to pick up my son from the prom after party, and I was alert. I was drinking tea. Like, I was alert, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? Anyway, so yes, that is a trial run for John drugging his family, and then carrying them one by one to the forest in a wheelbarrow and dumping them in the hole, where he keeps them captive and just basically lives by himself at the house.
Yeah.
And he uses the car. Yeah. He uses mom's ATM card. And yeah. So it goes quite a while. And honestly, they didn't
just
even focus
on the ATM card. Like when he takes out money the first time, it's like, I think it's like $750,000.
Yeah. No, these people, like, yeah, these people have $750,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing well. The closest I ever came to seeing a house like this was, we house swapped, in Holland. And once we got to their house, we felt really bad for the house that we left them. It was the house of a surgeon and his wife, who is head of surgical at a children's hospital. They had a pool with a retractable cover that you press a button and it goes.
This wasn't like some kind of human centipede kind of setup, though.
It felt like it. I was like, oh man, I was definitely looking. You know, because I stay up later, and you know, after the ex went to bed, I was staying up late, looking over my shoulder. Lots of windows, It was very much like a movie house. However, it was quite an old house. You know, it was in this like sort of smaller town in Holland, but this is sort of this version of that, which a more modern, newer house. This is a very well off family, and John just for no reason whatsoever. Decides to hold his family in a hole in a forest behind his house and partially starve them and kind of run rampant at home for, again, no real... Like, there's no reason, right?
No, like, there's no real indication that somebody's been, like, abused or anything. Yeah, he plays like his tennis video game, you know, because he plays it online with a friend and then gets the kid to take the bus to come to wherever they like the town where they live and stay over for the weekends. They're just, you know, getting like popcorn, chicken and McDonald's.
Ice cream.
And, yeah, ice cream.
Yeah. All sorts of shit. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a good time. But like, and then also there's like a neighbor, right, who's trying to figure out where everybody is. Like, that's not really played up for tension that much.
Not really, no.
You know, because, like, the police officer comes to the house and nothing happens.
He just sees a drone outside, and then, like, John kind of, you know, ducks out of the way. He's looking out the window, but then there's no follow-up. Like, it's not
goes away, and the neighbor never comes back either, right?
I don't think so. Or if they do... I'm trying to remember.
Maybe in like the final moments.
Yeah, maybe something like that. I think we see her again sometime. I think her name's Paula, but I don't really remember anything else. Like in terms of there being really any purpose to her, like she isn't. Yeah.
So here's my question to you.
Right.
I think I've kind of outlined the whole movie without necessarily going into detail on the ending, but. Is this like some statement that I'm not getting?
I don't know. So, okay. So, cause on the one hand, like, yeah, like I never really, like, cause it, okay. So in a different movie that was like, maybe if we had roughly the same plot, like say we got John here. He's been kind of playing tennis. I think he wants to do it. Like, it seems like, you know, he's not being necessarily pushed to do something he doesn't necessarily want to do, I don't think. Like, he kind of keeps up with it even when his parents are in a hole and everything. So it's not like he's like, you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do or whatever for that exactly.
Like, it's not like he's not fighting back against something.
Yeah. And it's not
his
like
his dad buys him a drone. Like, hey, go in the woods and have fun with a drone.
And he tells him it's like, you know, one of the most expensive models and stuff and all that. And then, when he's at home, it's not like anything bad happens where he's like, oh shit, I realized I can't live without my parents, you know?
Right.
Like,
well, they're a little overprotective, right?
Because
he's like, I found a hole in the woods. And they're like, oh, that's not a hole. That's a bunker that they were going to build, but they ran out of money or so. Whatever.
And the thing is, I wondered about that, if that was going to play a role. And I don't think it ever did.
I know.
Like, meaning, like, are they the ones? Like, so say this
movie. Because he's like, what's a bunker? And then his dad's like, well, it's like a house they build under the ground to protect them. And he's like, protect them from what? And then there's like a long pause. And then dad's like, well, you know, like a bad storm. So like, are they trying to protect him from like talking about like nuclear Armageddon or something?
Yeah, or like, you know, like, or the Civil War II that's coming or like whatever.
But again, it's never talked about again.
No,
it's never talked about again.
No, for like a second. Yeah. Like again, I'm not sure, but for a second, I thought maybe they were the ones who actually like started to do it, you know, like build the bunker themselves and then for some reason change their minds. But again, there's no indication that that's true or false. I mean, you know, I don't know. And then it's never brought up again. So there's no real reason behind it. Like in terms of, whatever the real reason for the bunker being built, it doesn't really matter. And like I don't understand if I don't know. And then there is that kind of weird, like, I don't even know if I'd hesitate to call it a subplot because it's like so minute. That it's almost like, I think it was like just one or two like little interim things. And then there's kind of like a coda in the movie with another character, you know, like there's that little.
Right.
And again, I think
over
she's
our whole
to be
conversation.
Yeah.
I have completely forgotten, but right before we started, I'm like, we got to talk about this girl. Like, what the fuck is this about? So please, Dwayne, at least enlighten the listeners as to what you are talking about, regardless of whether you have an idea of what it actually means.
I don't know. So basically then we're introduced to a young, like, I think she's a little bit younger than John. I think she's like about 11 or 12.
I would say 12 year old girl. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a mom. She's like, I think she's trying to get her like daughter to kind of, like, I don't know, get out of the house or something, like a bit more or something like that. Like the daughter's just kind of sitting there in a room. I'm not sure what, thinking about something or just.
Yeah. She says,
or something.
She says, you haven't left your room in 3 days or something.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, do you have to go to the bathroom? She's like, no, I don't have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, right. That's it. Yeah.
Maybe it's like maybe it's just since yesterday or something, but still, like, that's a long time to go without going to the bathroom. It's very weird.
Yeah. Like, and then it gets weirder. Like, I'm going to say, it's not exactly a spoiler because I have no idea what the fuck it's talking about. Then later on, so this is like the second time, I think, the second scene that we have with them is the mom basically comes home or whatever and tells her daughter that she's got to leave. Like, not her daughter has to leave, but she has to leave somewhere. She doesn't even say like what's happening or whatever. And she basically just says there's a shoebox of money underneath the bed. And then like the kid's like, well, I don't want to stay here. Well, I'll sell the house. And then she's like, well, we don't even really own this house. Like, we rent it. You can use that money to pay for a year or whatever. And then, just see you later kind of thing. Like, there's no real, like, I don't know if she's running from the law or like she's been embezzling money or who knows what's been going on, but she just basically leaves with no explanation or anything, leaves this kid on her own. And then it kind of cuts to, you know, I just called it a coda, but basically it's like after the end of the other plot, then it just shows the little redheaded girl walking through the woods near the bunker. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so like, I don't know if this is supposed to be about people neglecting their kids or like, cause if it is, it's not doing a very good job, you know?
No.
Like, I mean,
yeah. Cause like, it's weird because John is alone by choice.
Yeah.
And this little girl is alone by abandonment.
Yeah.
But so I was trying to connect it in some way. And I I'm usually pretty good at that. You know, I'm a writer. Yeah. I'm an English major. So I literally have a degree in bullshit.
Yeah.
Like I can come up for reasoning on anything. But other than like the sort of parallelism between, you know, children alone, I don't know what this movie's trying to say, but so sometimes in our reviews and my reviews period, I'll look at another review, right? Especially if I'm puzzled, like to see what other people are saying about the movie, but I'm on IMDb and I'm just going to read like the featured user review Subject lines. That's all I'm going to
use. I didn't look up anything about this, so yeah, this would be interesting. Okay.
So this 5 out of 10 review calls this movie lesser than its parts. Okay, and like the first little bit of it is, this film is a disappointing example of an intriguing premise, good acting, good cinematography, and strong sound design, and then it trails off. I'm not clicking on it. I'll read the early stuff. So the second review, I don't believe they gave it a score at all. It says pointless. And then this just says, I have said this review doesn't contain spoilers, because you have to say that for IMDb. But I guess by me saying it's absolute tripe, I may have lied. Okay. Pointless, he says. This 1-star review, I'm definitely going to name this because he deserves credit for this pun. Walk work with E, all one word. Whole lot of nothing. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
This movie, if you can call it that, was the worst thing I've ever seen. Over an hour of this idiot kid keeping his family in a hole. Every other adult is ... Not clicking on it, but yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
This 5-star review, I'll read the words, but it's WTH. It's what the hell? Question mark. Seriously? 3 question marks. And then the last thing in the subject line is a colon and an O with like a big, like making like a big, like what face?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's that one. And then the final one is a 5-star review that says that maybe gets the point across best. It builds and builds ... to nothing.
Yeah.
And it really, really does. And then when we see the little cute redheaded girl walking through the woods, I'm like, oh, this is where we get something, right? Some sort of reveal. Right.
Something. No, yeah.
This is the daughter. This is John's daughter, right? John's not around. He's abandoned his family because he doesn't want to be anchored to a family, right? Right. And this is his daughter, and she goes to find something out about her father at the hole.
Right.
But no, I mean, I just made that up, right? But like, I made that up because when you follow story and you watch movies, you have a feeling for how they're going to end, how they're going to wrap stories up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you have a feeling for how they're going to wrap stories up, and there's a twist and it surprises you. And yet, even with the twist, they wrap the story up. What I'm saying is they don't wrap this story up.
No.
This movie just ends.
Yeah.
The practicing drowning thing.
Yeah.
Right, like again, his friend, he invites the friend over, and then in the pool, they're like practicing drowning each other.
Right, which is fine if it goes anywhere or like, yeah, you know, relates something then, like about interest in, you know, what happens after death or something.
Right, but, right. But mm-hmm. we don't get that. And then we do get, right, like there is sort of a slight callback to drowning very near the end of the movie.
Yeah,
without spoiling things.
And then again, yeah.
Yeah. And, but it amounts to nothing. Oh, it's very, very weird. I find it very, I find it very difficult to recommend this movie.
Yeah.
However, I want to scream from the rooftops for people to watch this movie so that they can tell me what they think about this movie.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Right?
Yeah,
like that's where I'm at. This is, look, I love a story about a hole in the backyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've written stories about it. I'm currently writing a novel about one. I just love the idea of a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Being the crux of a story. So yeah, that is the entire
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything
seen,
from
like, Jugface was a good one. And
right. And the pit,
yeah.
Right. The gate, same, you know, like all of these things, they're all very fun. And I, that is the, and, you know, we just, our last review session, we did a hole in the fence, right? Or the hole in the fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like holes and things, but so that was like the one thing that I saw, that John and the hole. Okay. There's a hole in the forest behind this kid's house. Okay. Interesting. I'll check this out. And it gave me a whole lot of atmosphere. It gave me a whole lot of, callousness and cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a lot of, intrigue. Yeah. But it gave me no relief. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. No.
And if it gives you all of those things, but there's no pressure release valve, it really does just have me, once the credits hit the screen and you know, and like the on Tubi, it's like this movie, you know, what, you know, like cyber gore is starting in, right, yeah, in 30 seconds, right? Or, yeah, you know, like fucking Black Rain is starting in 30 seconds, right? And I'm like, and I was just like, that's it? You know, like,
yeah,
what the fuck? And like, why bother having the girl and her mom at all, right? Unless, I don't know. Yeah, it's puzzling and angry.
Yeah, like, well, and it's to the, like, okay, you know, obviously we watched, you know, ambiguous kind of movies and certainly read, you know, ambiguous kind of things before.
Of course. I love the crying of Lot 49. I love the crying of Lot 49.
Yeah. Like the disappearance or the disparu or what's it called? Vanishing, I mean, sorry. Things like that. Even things like,
give me an ambiguous ending all day, every day.
Or even something like, it's not necessarily, I guess it was a segment in a movie, I believe, but, I think it was like in Triple X, the anthology, I think, but the, but like, say like Jack Ketchum's like The Box, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're basically, yeah, like it's, but there's nothing like this here, like in terms of, like, you know, like, unless, I don't know, am I stupid? What's going on here? You know, like, I just don't get it.
Like, again, I don't ever, ever need my movies explained to me, but also, exactly, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, I just don't.
Give me some explanation, you know?
I know it sounds like rude, like, yeah, like, I mean, we are obviously not saying everything, but I gotta tell you, there's not much more to say. Like,
no, yeah, honestly, we've almost said everything. Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's you know, this is I guess the opposite of a spoiler. Maybe not. But like, yeah, like, it's not like, the family's trapped together and they have to resort to cannibalism on each other to survive. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing kind of like a little cool twist like that. Or, I don't know what they've, find out the bunker was meant for something, and maybe by John putting his family in there, John's actually just endangered himself by separating them, and they're the ones who are actually safe, and he's the one in danger because of whatever. I don't know what it is, but, you know, like, there's a whole bunch of like different ways you can go, right? And I'm just
I like that idea, but
yeah, like, this doesn't do anything.
The movie is, yeah.
Anyway, but it's nothing. Like, it's not even like, yeah, you know, sometimes there's movies that people see, even like popular movies that sometimes, yeah, people are kind of split on, and that's fine. You know, that's the way it is. It's probably the way it should be in a way. But yeah, like with this, I'm like, I'd like to see one person say, you know, that they actually know what this is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I don't know. And I don't even know if it's really a horror movie. Like, I mean, I guess it is in terms of like people being entrapped and stuff, but, I mean, and, you know, obviously I wouldn't want that to happen, but at the same time, like, I don't even know if there's any malicious intent for people. I don't even know. I don't know what's going on.
Well, we don't,
here,
so. Right. We don't know. We don't know why John is doing this. Like, is.
And the mom even notices, like, her pills are going down, but then she never, like, addresses it or says anything to anybody in the family. Like, hey, like, what's happening with all my, like, sleeping pills or whatever.
Right, you right, know? Right.
Like, just, yeah. I don't know, man.
I don't ever need my movies explained to me.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate an artistic, ambiguous ending, to the point where I prefer it. most of the time, because honestly, endings are tough, and endings are often the shittiest part of a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but like, give me something. Like, give me something. It's like the movie goes status quo and then ends on a tease, but like not a tease. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's very, very weird. It's like, it's like going on a date and the person doesn't even smile at you the whole time or something. It's like, does this person want me dead? Or are they enjoying themselves? You know what I mean? Like,
that's, did I wrong this person?
I know. Like, am I not getting it? Am I not getting it? Is really what went through my head several times watching this movie. And I like to think I'm an intelligent person. Again, who knows a lot about movies and storytelling.
Yeah, but I've read a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah. So this is the only thing I can find in my notes that was like, I mean, and again, this is not an explanation of my books, given the rest of the movie, but there's a part like where the mom is talking and she says to her husband that, John had asked her, you know, recently what it was like to be an adult. And then she didn't know what to tell him. And she basically just kind of told him that it's like, people don't really ever grow up. They're kind of always kids inside. But, you know, just as time goes on, you kind of get more and more responsibilities, and that's it. But again, I don't really see what that has to do with this movie. Like, it just,
no,
I don't know.
No, yeah, that doesn't really tie in thematically with the rest of this movie.
No.
The family interaction is unnatural.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it gives off an abusive vibe or, yeah, it just, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lack of a spark.
Yeah, I think so. And it's hard to know, like, what maybe, like, if the father or the mother, like, maybe because of, I don't know what they do, but maybe they, like, spend a bit of time away, you know, from the family due to a job or whatever. So maybe there's, like, a little bit of that kind of distance, but yeah.
Right.
But nothing really.
So that's, like, the vibe I got right off the bat in that first family dinner when it's John and his parents. And then, but also there's that sequence that comes almost directly next.
Yeah.
To when he's throwing the tennis ball at the ceiling and then his sister comes down. She's like, will you fucking cut that out? I'm trying to read. And he's like, what are you reading? Like, it's like, what? Like, so like it starts off. I'm like, this is maybe like a kid on the spectrum.
Yeah, I guess.
Because that's a really weird reaction to, I'm trying to read and you're making all this noise.
Yeah.
And his reaction is, what are you reading?
Yeah.
Right? And there's like several moments when he asks very strange questions.
Yeah.
Out of the blue. And that is, you know, that with the right character, that is a very charming quirk.
Totally.
But with John, it seems unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like he's alien. But
yeah.
However, that sequence with Tessa Farmiga and John, I can't remember what the sister's name is, when she grabs the tennis ball, that is actually a very sweet and loving scene.
Mm-hmm.
These are not people in an abusive family, right? Your big sister is going to come down and yell at you if you're being noisy when she's trying to read or watch or do homework or something, right? Or hang out with her boyfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
She's going to come down and call you a little shit, right? Like that is to be expected.
Yeah.
But it also seems like maybe she knows that there's something with John.
Right? Yeah.
Because she says that kind of stuff in the hole, right? Like she intimates more than either of the parents that she is not as surprised. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think you're right.
It seems like she has a vibe that something is off with John, but then she puts does she even kiss him on the forehead? I think
she maybe did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she puts the tennis ball on his chest and kisses him on the forehead. Like after, like it's very sweet.
And yeah, I think and then he keeps throwing the ball, but he doesn't throw it as high, so it doesn't actually hit the ceiling anymore.
So he's he's throwing the ball, trying to get as close to the ceiling as possible without touching it, which again is a really sweet scene. And it's the most human moment that I saw in this entire movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help explain the movie at all, because just like his parents, his sister ended up in the hole. And that scene gave very much the vibe of 19-year-old sister, 13-year-old brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It feels like maybe she's like back from college for the weekend or something, which is why she said it's book club, right? I can't remember what book she said is a biography of somebody.
Something
Alexander the Great?
Yeah, that's what it was. Which again, I hope that's not a clue, but.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, you want me to pick through that kind of shit for your clues? No. Get out of here.
I don't think so. Yeah, so like, and the thing is like, I've never, if they're saying like, on the one hand, if they're saying like, I don't know, like he's a psychopath or something, like, you know, or a sociopath or whatever, like there's no real other well, I shouldn't say that, but like, you know what I mean? They don't do the usual stuff like where he's torturing little animals or anything like that, right?
No,
like, so there's
no,
so,
it's all know, poisons. Like,
and even then, I just, like, I don't know if that's enough.
It was it was a bloodless coup.
Exactly.
All smotherings.
but then on the other hand, if
that's my favorite, like, Homer Simpson quote of all time. talking about Jimmy Carter.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was a bloodless coup. All smotherings.
But if they are going with the other kind of autistic kind of, you know, neurodivergent kind of thing, again, it just doesn't really make sense. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't.
Yeah. And then it borders on demonizing trope.
Yeah. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Also, if he, like you were hitting on that, like, like this, you can't consider this a movie in the killer kid genre.
No.
Right. But it very much has the hallmark of a killer kid. Like, did I say this earlier, or did my train of thought may have gone before I said it out loud, but like, we need to talk about Kevin.
No, you didn't say that. No, but yeah, that's definitely,
You seen that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
I mean, that is a chaotic and very difficult film to watch. This movie very much is not. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's very straightforward cinematic. It has those interstitial with the mother and the daughter, and you imagine at some point you're going to know what that has to do with the story in any way. You do not, but it's there, but it's still like hallmarks of storytelling that you can really recognize. It's an easy to watch movie, right? Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that it does build up all this tension and all this tension for what?
Nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, it's almost like this movie is an exercise in tease.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but like, I don't want that in a movie, but also I'm very compelled by this film.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like,
I'm not here saying fuck this movie, you know? Yeah.
So I think, like there's some good acting moments. I really do like the photography and stuff looks great, you know, and I like the house and the surroundings and everything. And just even the bunker itself is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I don't even, you know, like what the fuck? Like even the thing with this little girl near the bunker at the end. Well, okay. So what if this is a spoiler, but whatever. Okay. No, it's not.
Just go,
anyway,
just go for it. At this point, you're either intrigued enough to watch the movie
or you're
not.
Still listening.
It's not going to bother you.
So she goes, she goes in the woods, kind of in the woods near the bunker. And like the bunker's filled in now though. Like, so it's not even like she could use the bunker herself or like, you know what I mean? Right. There's no like repeating pattern. There's no like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like I just don't, there's no point to it. Like there's just no. I don't know. Like, there's no point even to that. Like, there's no.
Well, the bunker's filled in now, but maybe that's in the past.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And she's going to see her dad, you know, maniacally building the bunker or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe
it's all an elaborate setup.
This is all shit we're reading into it, right? Like, it's not like, not like that's on screen in any way. Like, that is, I think in order to talk about this movie, you have to have almost pure extrapolation. And that's what we've done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then, I don't know. Yeah. It's one of these things where, I mean, yeah, like, you know, we could probably, like, come up with a, you know, at least three good variations on this.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of use the basic framework. But yeah, but no.
Well, I mean, this is not like the first weird bunker movie that we've talked about either, right?
No.
Yeah. We love Der Bunker.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, too, is I didn't know at the beginning, right? Like, whether it would become more like a bunker movie or like what exactly. But
yeah.
Now we're just seeing the kid get like popcorn chicken. And,
yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't realize at first that it was just a hole in the ground.
Right. Yeah.
Because you don't actually really see like, so like the first time we see the bunker, it's sort of like over the boy, over John's shoulder, but like quite a ways back. So you really are only like looking at a hole in the ground, and then we have dinner where he talks to his parents and like asks about the hole in the ground and they're like, oh, it's not a hole. It's a bunker, blah, blah, blah. It was just unfinished. But like, you don't get the idea that an unfinished bunker is just a hole in the ground. Like I'm thinking like unfinished as in like they built the bunker, but didn't put anything in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like so, it might have stairs and
so, and then like I'm watching this, and then like he poisons the gardener, and I'm like, oh, is he going to take the gardener and like lock him up in the bunker, and then you know, and then drugs his parents, and I'm like, oh, he's all going to put them in the bunker, but then the parents wake up in the hole,
yes,
and you realize it's not a bunker, it is just a hole in the ground, yes, perhaps an unfinished bunker, but you know. I really thought it was going to be a bunker movie.
Yeah.
You know, which is now a subgenre, I guess. But no, it is literally a hole in the ground. And then from then on, and then granted those shots are great. Like looking up out of the hole to see John standing up there.
Yeah.
It's great. It looks great. And then the three family members in the bunker look great down there too. You know, it's like, it looks grimy, dingy, disgusting. They're weak. They're angry. They're tired.
They have to figure out a way to throw their waste away, like out of the bunker. Yeah.
Yeah. They're confused. They're, torn between, you know, get me out of this fucking hole right now. Or, you know, hey, buddy. Hey, you know, like that kind of thing. Like,
exactly.
Like, it's all very intriguing. You know, it like pulls me. I'm like, ah, fuck. Like, where is this going to go? And like, it's such a betrayal to me because it doesn't go anywhere. But like, it's so good. That's my problem. That's why I'm not sitting here saying, fuck this movie. This movie sucks. This movie is good. Like, it looks good.
Yeah.
It's shot beautifully. It's acted wonderfully. It's got a really unsettling tone.
Yeah.
The score is subtle, but sort of mesmerizing. The potential, the diabolical possibility of John, it's all got this, like, it's this vibrating ball of potential energy. You know, and then it's just gone. It doesn't become anything, right? Which we know it goes against the laws of thermodynamics.
That's so the thing that hurts the most. You know?
Yeah, it really hurts the most. Yeah. That's the thing. The most that I can say about this movie is that it creates this holy fuck, you know, and then like, she's, like I was like, oh my god, this girl's walking through the forest. What's she gonna find at the bunker? And then you don't know. Like it's just nothing. It's like, fuck you. What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? It's an IFC film, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't get it. So that is the only way I'm recommending this movie is so maybe somebody can figure it out.
Yeah,
but the best part is you don't have to spend money on it. It's on Tubi. It says AMC Plus too, so maybe it's on Shudder as well.
Did you watch it on Shudder? Okay. I'm not sure. No, I saw it on Tubi, but I haven't. I haven't watched Shudder in a little while, like, so I don't know what's kind of up to date there. So yeah,
I find Shudder hard to maneuver.
Yeah, so do I.
So I more often than not, if I come across something on Shudder, it's a recommended thing on my regular
Prime Video
menu. Yeah. So, yeah, but okay. I mean, here is the toughest fucking question of at least this entire recording session.
Right.
Other than what is John in the Hole about? What do you give John in the Hole out of 5?
Well, I'm going to give it 2, and it's like strictly on all those other qualities that you already mentioned. You know, like it does look great. There's at times I even kind of, I think, wrote down that I thought it was somewhat hypnotic, but it sort of lulls you into this comfortability
in the uncomfortable, you know?
But at the same time, it's just a 2 because it's just kind of a wasted potential. Like, it's not even like it was like paneled poorly as much as like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, it's like not even, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you've seen sometimes movies take like kind of a wrong turn at the end, but at least they're doing something, you know, like they're trying something. Maybe they didn't make the greatest choice, whatever. But in this case, it's like, what is this? What's going on? I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if, you know, if you're rating movies on potential, this is a 5 out of 5, but, but you don't rate them on potential, you know? I think I was going into this like maybe 2.5 because of how puzzled I am, but I think maybe a 2 is more accurate just because on disappointment alone.
Yeah.
It's so rare, you know, I mean, like the greatest thing for me is to go into a movie I know nothing about.
Yeah.
And to be delighted by, which.
Yeah. I try to do that as much as I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, which very thankfully has happened many, many times in, like just the history of Dread Media.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that you and I are, you know, me and somebody else are just me, you know, like I just love or if it's, you know, something I'm checking out for like, the Amazing Fantasy Film Festival or whatever, you know, it's like, or when I was on the Hexploitation Film Festival, you know, like every year, one of my favorite movies of the year is something I see for, you know, one of these film festivals. And that feeling of watching something that you know nothing about, that no one else has ever really seen, you know, and then to find it is a beautiful piece of art. That is a true joy. It's a true joy. And then you get the same thing, this movie you know nothing about other than the title, essentially. It's about this boy named John and a hole, you know? And it's like, okay, but it does have all this potential, and it is a beautiful piece of filmmaking. It looks great. Again, it looks great. It's got amazing production values, amazing acting. This is like, it feels top tier, but then when you look for a story, it's just, it's all intrigue. It's all, tension building, but it doesn't go anywhere. And it's not a request for an explanation. It's a request for an ending, a resolution of one of the multitude of plot points this movie has brought up. Just like one, you know, like,
yeah, maybe
explain the girl.
If we found the one kind of set up the other one. So it was kind of like ending, or I don't know.
That feels like what it was supposed to be.
Right. But I don't know.
And I don't know about that because we haven't watched that movie. I don't know what I would feel about that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I haven't watched it. Maybe if I watch that movie, I'm like, oh, that's so obvious. You know what I mean? But also, like, what else is there?
Go on.
I'm so frustrated by this movie. It looks so good, and it is so good for the whole time. And it just lets you down. And that's the worst part of it. So, yeah, I gotta err on the side of negative and just give it a 2 out of 5 as well. But again, it's the heaviest recommendation I can give to a 2 out of 5.
Right.
You know? It's free on Tubi. Yeah. Watch it and please tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think. Dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. I will specifically put this episode higher up in the release order so I can maybe hopefully get an answer to this summer. Please, somebody, right, tell me what you think of John in the Hole, for Christ's sake. Oh, Dwayne, this adventure is over.
I know.
We've climbed out of the hole, and guess what? Everything's the same as it was before.
Exactly.
Let's rock out at the end here. I'm going to play, I think leading into the song, I'm going to play the Tom Waits song, Way Down in the Hole.
Right, yeah.
I do love that song. But let's get out of here with Hole in the Earth by Deftones. Thanks, Dwayne.
You're welcome.
Can you explain?
All right, and we are back. And first up, I'm going to talk about the brand new movie. It's out now, streaming on Prime Video, as well as available on DVD and Blu-ray, The Woman in the Yard. This was directed by, Yaume Collet Serra, I believe a Spanish filmmaker, written by Sam Stefanuk. These are going to bother me. And stars Danielle Deadwyler, that was easy, Okui Okpwasili, Okui Okpwasili, it's hard for me to do, sorry, and Peyton Jackson. I tried. I'm going to read the IMDb synopsis of The Woman in the Yard. I'm also going to warn you that though this is going to be a short review, I am going to kind of get to the point and sort of spoil it for you, because it is very, very difficult to talk about anything to do with this movie other than the IMDb synopsis without spoiling the movie. And I will tell you that it's not even an entirely true synopsis. So here we go. The Woman in the Yard. In this movie, a mysterious woman repeatedly appears in a family's front yard, often delivering chilling warnings and unsettling messages, leaving them to question her identity, motives, and the potential danger she might pose. Okay, so she doesn't repeatedly appear. She appears and basically never leaves, except she slowly gets closer. Now, we don't even have confirmation that it's a woman figure at all until a little bit into the movie. But of course, the title, The Woman in the Yard, we're just going to call her The Woman. So that's not necessarily a spoiler, but chilling omen kind of thing. It is a stark and scary image seeing her out there. If you haven't seen the trailer, then you don't know, but she sort of presents as perhaps some sort of old-timey mourning widow, as she is draped in black lace and whatever garments, and is sitting in a chair. She provides some scary words and really freaks out the mom. I didn't say it's a mother and her two children. They are grieving in a tragedy. The father and husband died in a car crash sometime very recent to this film, as the mother, who Ramona is the character named, Danielle Deadwyler. She fucking kicks ass in this movie. Great, great job at acting, which is certainly, other than like the visual of The Woman in the Yard, it's the highlight of the film. She's fantastic, and she's also injured, right? So it's very recently after the crash that she was in with her husband. He's dead. The kids are trying to move forward. Really hard for mom. She's having some mental health struggles, clearly. And all of a sudden we get the woman in the yard. And other than one real aspect, from this point on, there is not much at all that we have not seen before in film. It is your sort of bog standard supernatural / psychological horror. And, you know, very much, it is a Blumhouse film. It's got that vibe, right? You shouldn't be surprised by it. It definitely feels like a Blumhouse film. It's rather tame as far as the horror's concerned. And I would also say that, trying not to spoil things, it becomes apparent, you know, throughout the film that there is a thematic element to the woman in the yard that I feel that they kind of like make bold-faced and easy to pick out, but they really do nothing with it. I would have liked to have seen that metaphor extrapolated a little bit more rather than this little sort of I don't know. It's one of those movies where it's like, oh, has anybody changed? You know what I mean? Has a character in this movie changed at all? I don't think so. So I was able to do that all without really spoiling the film. So I will say that central metaphor that the film harps on, it bugs me because it's a serious metaphor, you know? And I just felt that it was handled very lightly. And I feel like if you're going to do that, then you need to get into it. And this movie sort of refuses to get into it. So that's kind of my complaint about the film. I'm sure you could read an IMDb review that will tell you what that spoiler is. I'm not going to. I'm happy with myself being able to get through all that without spoiling the film. I am going to talk about the one aspect that was intriguing. And that was the fact that there are not many films, period, where literally every member of the cast is black. There's not many. And I'll go one further. And that is, there are very, very, very few genre films that have only black people in them. And The Woman in the Yard is one of them. So that was intriguing. I was like, wow. Halfway through the movie, I'm like, I haven't seen a white person. This is kind of interesting. So that was interesting. I mean, it's made by a Spanish dude and a white guy, I think. And, Danielle Deadwyler pulls off an incredible performance. Now, actually, I'm cutting myself off. Another thing that you don't see other than Candyman. I'm sure there were white people in that Candyman remake. I know there was in the original for sure. I really tried to block that remake from my mind because it was not very good. But outside of something like Candyman, you don't really see a horror monster, air quotes, that is played by a black person. And I'm trying to think. There are definitely like monsters in suits that were played by black people, but I'm talking about the monster is a black person. Although I have to wonder if the entity of the woman in the yard, if she appeared at somebody else's house, that she might look like them. That would be a theory of mine. However, for this movie, it works. And the woman, or just woman, as Okui Okpokwasili, that was better than what I did first, plays her quite well. There's also like a sort of a cool shadow power that she has. So, I mean, it's rare to see this sort of supernatural horror monster. Oh, and I'll also say this movie does a good job with like lighting palettes. So much of the movie takes place in the bright of day, and then it uses the darkness later on pretty well as well. So there you go. But is it a triumph? No. Is it a bad movie? No. It's maybe your more sort of entry level horror. And if you've got Amazon Prime Video, you could check it out for free, essentially. But it's also available on Blu-ray. The Woman in the Yard, I would say a nice 3 out of 5 for this one. I just wanted it to be more in a lot of other areas. You know, I wanted it to explore the metaphor more. I wanted it to be more intense. I wanted it to capitalize on the imagery of the woman in the yard a little bit more, you know? And in fact, I think it could have done a really cool job of being in the daylight the entire time, because that would also speak to the central metaphor that you don't need the darkness for this sort of thing to happen, right? There you go. I skirted around it again without spoiling it. But yeah, by all means, if you're interested, check out The Woman in the Yard. I'm not going to throw to a song. I'm just going to continue on with some feedback, because we're talking about some serious issues with John and the Hole and the central metaphor that I'm not going to get to now from The Woman in the Yard is also a very serious issue. We're going to harken back a couple episodes to Tom and my coverage of The Rule of Jenny Penn, or was it just Rule of Jenny Penn? The movie with Jeffrey Rush and John Lithgow as, you know, elderly men struggling against each other in a elderly care home. And Chantel is writing me about that. So Chantel's email says, Princella Seymour on transforming elder care with dignity. And, you know, I'm an older fella now because I am increasing the size of my font on my Gmail tab here. Chantel says, Hi, Desmond. I have to say your recent top 5 scary horror films centered around senior citizens. Well put. I believe that's exactly, what it was. In my show notes, was such a clever twist on the usual horror themes. Hearing Growing Old and Old, the songs I played, paired with your film picks brought an added layer of depth. The way you highlighted the fears and mysteries surrounding aging really stuck with me because it's so rarely explored in genre conversations. And 100% you're right there. I will add my own little things. Yeah, 100%. That's what I found so refreshing about the Rule of Jenny Penn and such like occasional swipes at horror featuring senior citizens. You know, not a widely catered to market in horror. Anyway, Chantel continues. That is exactly what made me think of Princella Seymour as a possible guest for Dread Media. Princella has spent 3 decades pioneering solutions for the aging community, including a term as vice president of the National Association of Social Workers. Wow. Her new book, Everything You Need to Know About Me, addresses the hard realities and heartbreak families experience when facing aging, but with a mission rooted in love and dignity. I'm confident Princella could give your listeners a perspective that bridges real horror and lived experience. She can speak directly to the real-life anxieties around aging, navigating emotional decisions between home and assisted living, funding long-term care, estate planning pitfalls, right? Yeah. Ways to protect against financial exploitation, yes. And how to have vital and often fraught family conversations about aging and health. All intense subjects there. If you're interested in exploring horror's relationship to real-world fears, especially those around getting older, Princella's expertise would make for a unique and valuable episode. Let me know if you'd like to hear more about what she can bring to the conversation. Best, Chantel. She signs her name Chantel Cook. With a link to Princella's website and her book. Now, Princella's website is CompleteElderSolutions.com. CompleteElderSolutions.com. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, and her book, which Chantel already named, is very affordable on Amazon. Everything You Need to Know About Me by Princella Seymour. Princella is spelled Prince, L-L-A, and Seymour is spelled Seymour. You know how to spell that. Yeah, there you go. Check that out if you find that interesting. And I absolutely do. I don't know, as an episode of Dread Media, as we are winding down on, weekly episodes of Dread Media, but, it is certainly something that everybody in every family should be open to discussing. I know my parents have a sort of, death folder, you know, for me, you know, to make things easy on me. And, it's also, something, well, now, you know, I also have to get into maybe the latter half of this summer. I have to work on some estate planning, because I have life insurance and now I have sons that are, of legal age and therefore can be made my direct beneficiaries. But also I have a wife to be. And so other estate planning has to be in place there to ensure that, I'm not leaving behind, an untenable mortgage, on my passing and vice versa. You know, these are all things that we need to discuss. And, you know, as a divorced man, I need to, you know, change some life insurance information, et cetera. Especially now that my sons are of age and therefore I do need to get on that. So that's stuff I will be doing this summer, on my own. So, I mean, yes, it is a very, very important topic. I urge everybody, I know there's some older folks listening, older than me even. So if you need some guidance in that aspect, CompleteElderSolutions.com. And, oh dear, I can't keep the title of that book in my head. Everything You Need to Know About Me by Princella Seymour. Thank you, Chantel, for listening. And for writing in. And if you want to write in like Chantel did, dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. That's dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on the things at dreadmedia on Instagram, on Twitter, on Blue Sky. There's a Dread Media Facebook group. I have had literally two questions for the Q&A episode, which is also coming up at the end of the summer. So if you want to ask me a question, if you want there to be a Q&A episode, send me an email with a bunch of questions if you want. I mean, maybe not like 30 questions, but I don't know, a dozen, even if you want. And I don't know, it depends on how many questions I get. Maybe I'll have a part one and part two. Maybe I'll edit some out. Or whatnot, but, yeah, get some questions in or there will be no Q&A episode. Yeah, patreon.com/dreadmedia. Thank you so much for your support. Little as a dollar a month. It really helps. I'm going to play some brand new music to get out of here. This is a collaborative album. I got to open up my email about this here. This is a collaborative album between, two artists I've never, listened to before. So there's Madeline Johnston, does she perform as Midwife or is that the band? I'm not sure. I've heard of Midwife. I've never heard Midwife before, but, Madeline Johnston from Midwife and Matt Jensik, J-E-N-C-I-K, of Implodes, Don Caballero, and Slint's live band. I've never listened to either of these artists before. I've heard of Midwife, never listened to them. I have not ever heard of Matt Jensik. I suppose I've definitely heard Don Caballero, but I don't think heard of Don Caballero, but I don't think I've heard them. Anyway. This is released from Relapse Records, and Relapse sent it to me, and I thought you guys might like to hear a track. I don't know. What is it? What is it? Ambient? Yeah, it's like ambient drone music with vocals. And at times there's no beat, but I am playing you a song that does have a beat. It's some good reading music. That's for sure. If you like, you know, read some horror, you can put this on. And there is sort of a cold, spooky vibe to it. So this album is called Never Die. And the song I'm going to play for you is Don't Protest Too Much. Too Much is in brackets. Don't Protest Too Much by Midwife and Matt Jenchik. You guys take care of yourselves, take care of others, and don't forget, there's another like 6 or 7 minutes on John and the Hole at the end of this episode. So, talk to you guys later. Bye-bye now. left ear really hurts. It's from my earring, not.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised that I didn't look up on IMDb, but like there's like no illumination there, you know, like there's no
nothing,
no enlightenment, yeah. Nothing. Just I don't know.
Just crazy. Yeah. I just don't understand it.
You know, it's just like the movie kept on going, and then I'm like, you know, at a certain point, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, really good, and you kind of get into this kind of vibe, and, you know, anticipating something good happening, like something,
yeah,
you know, real, and then, yeah, it just doesn't. And, like, and not even when he's spending time with his friend or anything, like, it's not like there's any, you know, how we usually have the, like, I don't know what, The Good Son, and, like, all these kinds of, you know, killer kid movies and stuff like that. There's, like, nothing. Like, you know, there's not even, like,
They don't even go there.
No. Like, it's not like he, like, you know, stands behind his friend with, like, a hammer, and he's, like, just considering some...
right. There's no violence in this movie other than poisonous. Smash
his head in or something, right? If he doesn't, and, like...
Am I right about that? He
gives him... Yeah, I know. Like, it's,
I mean, thankfully,
nothing,
I'm still recording.
Time, yeah,
I'm going to include, like, this in the review. There's no violence in the movie. Other than poisoning. You can consider poisoning.
Yeah, like a
drugging, I guess. Is poisoning
in the eyes of the law, but
Is it a drugging in the eyes of the law? Because a poisoning kills you, right? Is that right?
Yeah, but yeah, okay, I guess so.
That's like the difference between shocking and electrocuting. Right?
Right.
Electrocution kills you. Shocking does not. So I think that's the distinction there. So okay, other than drugging, yes, drugging somebody is a violent act. However, for a horror film, it's, you know, it's pretty tame.
Yeah, and, like, there's probably some Disney movies like back in the 60s or something.
Oh, there's 100%
Bear Trap or something, well, or like, you know, we're not that.
Is that, you know, not like the central rising action in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And there's probably other things too, right? When it's like, hey, let's get my,
that's the whole thing that kicks off Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is a drugging, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Certainly a violent act. However, I don't think is there blood? I don't think there's blood in this movie.
No, I mean, like, if anything, you might, like, you know, scraped his arm or something like that, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, and, you know, like the most violent thing in the movie is like the boys chasing each other around. One of them has the most violent thing in this movie is they spit at each other.
Yeah.
The boys are spitting at each other. They have a spit. Again, it's this weird 13-year-old boy thing, because they have, like, you know, they went and bought a bunch of junk food, and they have ice cream, and I think like
peanut butter. Yeah.
Is it peanut? It maybe is peanut butter.
Yeah.
They're like putting peanut butter on ice cream, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah.
But his video game friend that he, you know, brought to his house is like licking the spoon and then putting it back in the peanut butter. And then John, for as much of a weird little shit that he is, has a real problem with that. And I appreciate that, John.
No, I'm not on board with that at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And then John, like he leans over and spits into the bowl, right?
Right.
And then I think it's Peter. Is that the name of the kid's name? The friend?
Maybe. Peter. That's a good. Yeah.
And then Peter's like, what the fuck? You can't spit. And he's like, yeah, it's the same thing as licking the spoon and putting it back in the jar. He's like, no, it's not. And they have this sort of, and then they have a spit fight and chase each other. And the most violent thing is they slip and drop the bowl of ice cream and it breaks. And the kid's like, oh, I'm sorry. And the other one's like, no, it's fine. John's like, it's fine. Like, it's so, like, nonchalant about everything. It's like, it's not like, you ruined my ice cream, or you ruined the floor, or, you know.
It escalates into him, like, stabbing him in the eye.
Nothing. Violence whatsoever. Nope. He's like, they fall. He says, I'm sorry, because he dropped the ice cream bowl and there's a mess. And John says, that's okay. Like, what the fuck is going on? And clearly cleans it up. He's kind of responsible, right? He has neighbor in the house after that.
Yeah.
Right? His friend leaves, and then the neighbor comes over, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so then, it's very weird. Okay, we are still talking about this movie.
I know. He takes out, like, some money to give to his friend, and he's like, hey, you know, you can just use this to buy anything.
Buy whatever you want.
You know, go crazy, right? And the guy's like, nah. But I'll keep the money. Like, so it's like, okay, so we could have had like a montage in Toys R Us or whatever.
Right, right, right. You'd expect them to come back and have like a virtual reality unit or some shit.
Yeah, but then the kid keeps it, but then it doesn't have any kind of like effect because it's not like the kid brings home a bunch of money. His parents find out, then they kind of check in and think, what the fuck's going on with John's family or anything. Like, there's no real purpose to any of it. Like,
no, so, like Peter leaves, right? And then that's the last time we see Peter.
It. Yep.
Like he came out and like hung out for a fun, weird weekend of no parents at your internet friend's house. And then he went home with a fucking fat stack of cash in his pocket. And I mean, hey, hail to Peter. He's the only person that made it out of this movie with any sense and dollars for that matter.
And dollars, yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Okay. That is officially now the end of the review of John and the Hole. Thank you, Dwayne. Yeah,
for real this time.
What song are we playing? Did I already say that? I did. Okay. Hole in the Earth by Deftones.
Right.
I'm still recording, and now we're not.